Now, in part two, we're going to look at a psalm, a celebration psalm. These psalms in the 90s are nearly all celebration psalms, and they all, or nearly all, have this phrase, sing to the Lord a new song. And that's why they're picked at Christmas. Why? Because we have something absolutely new to sing about. God became man. God came among us as a human being to teach us, to show us through physical stuff what he's really like. Can you imagine the apostles around Jesus? You know, when he would smile at them and say, no, Peter, you don't get it yet. You know, just his love for them. And that's why they loved him so much. You see? So that's the new song. So it goes as I... It's one of the psalms that doesn't give any thing. Psalm 98 doesn't give any, like, this is a song of David when he sang when he was in the desert or something. This one just says, Mizmor. That's it. Mizmor. A song. And then it starts. And it says, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds. Huh? Niflaot. Marvelous. Astounding things he's done. Now, there were astounding things done among the Jewish people, but they were all to prepare for the astonishing thing. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Dabar Adonai, the one who runs everything, huh? Says there in Isaiah, remember? My Dabar never leaves me fruitless. It always comes back having accomplished what I sent it for. It's my intention. It's my will. It's my Son. And so, it begins. So that's why you have this the psalm used among some of these 90s psalms with all this, you see, the Shir Hadash, the new song. You can't sing a new song unless there's something new to sing about. Well, there is. God has come among us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Not just because he's on our side, but because he's walking around with us. He's talking to us. He's teaching us. He's even eating with us after the resurrection. And at his ascension, he takes up a whole new mode of presence, not a new mode of absence. And we'll come to that when we get to the ascension. Okay. So he has done these wonderful things, you see. And he has, his right hand has won victory for him, you see. That's marvelous, huh? In the eyes of all the nations, huh? He has revealed his justice. How does he reveal his justice? He punishes all the bad guys. Justice, as I'm sure we've talked about before, means honoring the truth of every relationship. I'm just if I honor my relationship to God and to every human being. Then I'm tzedek. Huh? So tzaddik, you know, among the in Jewish piety, is a just man. He honors God. He honors his family. He honors his friends. He's faithful to his word. He's tzaddik. Now, when you say God is tzaddik, what's the norm? Faithful to us? Faithful to himself. That's how just he is. That's why he promises. Because if he is just and faithful to himself, then when he promises, we know he's got to do it. We know that. Because he promised. And he's just. And that's why when he said that to Abraham, you see, this will be your posterity. Look at all those stars, count them. And Abraham believed God. And that was counted to him, Lasudika. That's the right relationship to God. Because God will be faithful to that promise, and you can bet your life on it. And that's what it means to believe. Ahemin means to make God solid. In other words, you lean so far over on God that if he doesn't come through, you fall flat on your face. That's faith. So, a believer doesn't hedge his bets. God said it. He's true to himself. He is tzaddik, and if I believe him, I'll be tzaddik. So that's what's being said here, you see? He's made known in the eyes of the goyim. He has revealed his tzedek. What's that? He promised to take us out of exile, and he's doing it. That's probably the occasion for the psalm. See? So now he's shown the whole world that he's faithful to his promises. Think about this. How many promises has the Lord made to us? You stick with me. You obey me. You listen to me. You pray to me and get to know me. And you and I will spend eternity together. That's a promise. Now you can turn your back on my promise, but if you don't, if you cling to my promise, you and I will be together for all eternity. So, his promise, you see? Okay. He has remembered his hesed and his emunah. Oh boy, we have these same words again. I bet this is the 10th time we've talked about them. Huh? How does God remember anything? Oh, I forgot. No. It means, again, he's acting in consistency with himself. And he remembers, you see, two things in this text. His hesed and his emunah. His hesed is what? It's his covenant loyalty. Remember, he made a covenant. He's bound. He made a covenant. You can always remind him of that. You see, remember, Lord, you made a covenant. He says, I do remember. Now you remember. You see? He has remembered his tzedek. Or hesed, I'm sorry. He has remembered his covenant loyalty. He didn't forget it. How do we know? Because he saved us. Well, that was a pretty great thing when this ragtag group of people got out of being semi-prisoners in Babylonia and were allowed to go home. But we have eternal life. That's what he's been promising all along. Eternal life. Now, how do we know that? Because here is God incarnate here in our midst. That's how we know. You see? He has remembered. To remember is to have something so present to you that you're different. Now, God's not different. But if, for instance, if I remember God's kindness, what does that mean? Or God's acts of mercy? It means that those things are so present to me that I'm different. Whereas when God says, Shakachta, you forgot, it means what I did for you is not active in your life. You forgot it. You could recite it, but that doesn't mean you remember it. Remember means, but when it's used this way, God remembers. Well, God can't forget. What does it mean? It means he's acting in accord with what he always promised. That's our God. You understand? Suppose right now you're weighed down by some kind of sin. Well, take Therese's advice. Huh? Somebody once asked Saint Therese, if you had committed a really grave, bad sin, what would you do? She said, I'd run straight to the Father. Where else could I go? See, she knows he always remembers. You see? So, he remembers his hesed, his covenant loyalty, and his emunato, which is his fidelity. This is a great word. We get amen from this word. Aman means to be firm. Hehemin means to make God firm. That's the word for believe. There's a wonderful text in Isaiah. If you do not believe, If you do not make me firm, you will not be firm. If you don't believe, and so forth, you see? And so, for the house of Israel, and the whole world has seen it, this salvation worked by our God. Huh? That's tremendous, isn't it? So then, start rejoicing. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Notice, the whole world is invited in. The Jews knew they had a universal vocation. They expected it to be that the whole world would come to them and they would learn Torah and to worship Yahweh, and that would be it. God had other plans, and they stumbled over that. His word did come, but it came in flesh to teach, to heal, to love, to die, to rise. That's the hard thing. But they expected that he would come, you see. Sing joyfully to Adonai, the whole earth, you see. Break into song, sing praise. They're pretty happy, aren't they? You have to see sometimes how happy some other civilizations can be. We're kind of restricted in our happiness. I don't know how to say that. I mean, they sing and dance and laugh and clap for hours. In Africa, they do that. I saw another version of it in Israel, among these Palestinians and the Oriental Jews. 3 or 4 day wedding feasts. Dancing, singing, drinking for 3 or 4 days. That's why they ran out of wine at Cana. This wasn't one of these come for the afternoon and go home kind of receptions, see? So, anyway. Rejoice. Sing praise to the Lord with the harp. And with the harp, another word for harp, no, same word, the sound of melodious song. Isn't that beautiful? Let's make merry. And therefore, you see, with trumpets and the sound of the horn, sing joyfully before the King, the Lord. And the sound ends that, the psalm ends that way, at verse 6, our psalm in the liturgy. The psalm itself goes on with more exhortations to praise. When do we really praise? When who God is and what he's done for us really comes home to us. That's when. You can, I praise you, God, I love you, God, I give my life to you, God, blah, blah, blah. But when it really comes home is when you come into an experiential faith and realize who God is and what he's done. Then you sing. Then you praise. You see? And that's what they're saying here. The church is putting this psalm on our lips because God has come among us. God has come among us. Who can be afraid of God? He's walking down the street. I used to always think, you know, there's a principle in moral theology. If I'm broke and hungry and somebody else has some stuff, I can take part of it. It's not stealing. Means if I were like that, I could sneak up and steal some of Jesus' bread, it wouldn't be stealing, because he and I are both human beings. Just think about that. Amen.